Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayat nashta prayasya bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki mukam karoti vachalam angum nangayate girim yat kripatamaham vade shri gurun dinataranam paramananda madhava shri chaitanyameshwaram Намам Вишну Падая Кришна Праштая Бутале Шимати Джай Патака Свами Тинамине Намо Чарипадая Нитая Крипа Прадагине Гаура Катта Дама Дая Награ Грама Терине Ванча Калпа Тару Бяша Крипа Синху Бехевача Патита Нам Пава Неппил Вайшна Веппил Намо Намаха Джай Ши Кришна Чайтана Прабу Нитянанда Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna so Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 7, entitled Indra Offends His Spiritual Master Brihaspati, Text 15. Attama Maracharya Agatta Dishanam Dvija Prasada Ishe Nishata Шишната чаранам спреша Аттама марачаря Агатта дишанам двиджа Прасада ише нишата Шишната чаранам спреша Аттама марачаря Агатта дишанам двиджа Прасада ише нишата Шишната чаранам спреша Атта мамарам чарья Агатта дишанам двиджа Prasada ishe nishata Shishna sataranam sprishan Racharya Gishanam dvija Prasada ishe nishata Shishna sataranam sprishan Let us please. Atta mamaracharya Agadam dishanam dvijam Prasada ishe nishata Shishnata charanas prisham Atta mamaracharya Agadda dishanam dvija Prasada ishe nishata Shishnata charanas prisham Atta Therefore Aham I Amaracharyam The spiritual master of the demigods. Agadha Dishanam, whose spiritual knowledge is deep. Dvijam, the perfect Brahmana. prasada ishe. I shall please. Nishata. Without duplicity. Shirshna. With my head. Tacharanam. His lotus feet. Sprishan. Touching. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. King Indra said, therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. Because he is in the mode of goodness, he is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him. Please repeat. King Indra said, therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. Because he is in the mode of goodness, he is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances to try to satisfy him. Purport. Coming to his senses, King Indra realized that he was not a very sincere disciple of his spiritual master Brihaspati. Therefore, he decided that henceforward he would be Nishatha, non-duplicious. Nishatha Shirshna Tacharanam Sprishan. He decided to touch his head to the feet of his spiritual master. From this example, we should learn the principle enunciated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada Nagatih Kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. A disciple should never be a hypocrite or be unfaithful to his spiritual master. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27, the spiritual master is also called Acharya. Acharya Mam Vijaniyan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says that one should respect the spiritual master, accepting him as the Lord himself. Niva Manyeta Karhichit, one should not disrespect the Acharya at any time. Na Martya Buddha Suita, one should never think the Acharya an ordinary person. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt, but one should be very careful in one's dealings with the Acharya. Agada Dishanam Dvisham, the Acharya is a perfect Brahmana and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of his disciple. Therefore, Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Tadvithi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. One should fully surrender unto the spiritual master. And with service, sevaya, one should approach him for further spiritual enlightenment. Once more, the verse itself. King Indra said, therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, because he is in the mood of goodness and he is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him. So, here we have in the first two lines of this text, Lord Indra glorifies his spiritual master, pointing his qualities and greatness, and he's fully aware of the greatness of Brihaspati. He says that he's a spiritual master of all the demigods, Amara Acharya. Amara means mortless or immortal demigods. And he is aware of all knowledge. In some other passage in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is called master of all the Vedas. And the third characteristic which he gives here to Brihaspati, that's his dvija, or perfect brahmana, as Srila Prabhupada translated. Actually, through all the Vedic literature, many great personalities compare to Brihaspati in many ways. Say, it is said that Prithu Maharaj was exactly like Brihaspati in spiritual knowledge. And even Lord Ramachandra is compared to Brihaspati. Yeah. Because he could give arguments and counter argument exactly like Brihaspati, and was equal to him in intelligence. Can you imagine how high Brihaspati is as a spiritual master? And moreover, Krishna himself says about him that he is my vibhuti. In 10.24, he mentioned Brihaspati as his vibhuti. Of priest or Arjuna, know me to be the chief Brihaspati. So that's Krishna himself, that's vibhuti. And of course, Brihaspati teaches Lord Indra according to his knowledge, to the best of his capacity to do it, and what should Indra learn from Brihaspati, who is so knowledgeable in all the Vedic literatures. It is said in Bhagavad Gita 4.35 by Krishna himself, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into this illusion. This is a result of transcendental knowledge. There will be no illusion anymore. And also, it's mentioned in the list of 20 qualities of the knowledge. First is humility. You will be naturally humble if you are knowledgeable. How we know that somebody is knowledgeable, he's humble. So humility is there as a result of knowledge. So Indra has to have humility. Isn't it? Because Brihaspati is so great. Then why? Even despite of having such a qualified master, he didn't still rectify this his offensive mentality toward him and even others, even Lord Krishna. And to explain this, we can refer to Bhagavad Gita 4.34, that what Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his purport. Upadakshanti te gyanam gyanina statva darshanaha. So you can get this knowledge. The self-realized person can impart this knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. They tatva darshi. Drishti means to see. And darshi means someone who sees the truth, the tatva. So why the spiritual master can give the truth, can impart the knowledge? Because he sees the truth. And the point is, there are different spiritual masters, there are different guru, and they teach us different tattvas, tattva darsha, right? He has realized some tattva. Tattva means truth. So they can teach different tattva or different aspects of absolute truth according to the level of their realization, right? And if they realize some tattva, the same knowledge of that tattva will be given to the disciple also to realize it, right? Spiritual master gives the knowledge of what he has realized, not more than this. And Brihaspati, what kind of guru he is? Actually, it's said in Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, that he is Brahmavadi. And he has perfect knowledge and realization of Brahman and Paramatma. So that's what he teaches Indra. But that definitely is not enough, because this pride persists in Indra. So, why? Because this knowledge of Paramatma and Brahman realization actually doesn't eradicate avidya. What is avidya? Avidya is the root cause of our entanglement in this material world. Avidya means forgetfulness of our real identity. I am a servant. Krishnara Nityadasa. And it's not eradicated. And then from avidya sprout four more layers of ignorance: asmita, because I don't have anymore my real identity. I'm a servant. I have to take another identity, and it's false identity. I'm this body. And from this false identity, it's called Asmita, comes Raga. I attach to something which gives me joy, which gives me pleasure to this body, and I avert to something which is unpleasurable. And then from this Raga and Vesha comes Abhinivesha. I fear that my body will die. So there's a fear of material existing based on the fear of death. So all of them, they sprout from avidya, from the forgetfulness of our real identity. So the Brahman and Paramatma realization, they don't eradicate this avidya. So it's still there. The kind of, they don't have already asmita, false ego. They don't have material desires probably connected to false ego. They kind in between, but they didn't come to real identity. They didn't come to Krishna Ranitya Das. Therefore, they're hanging in between, and under some circumstances, they may again accept body as themselves. That's the problem. Therefore, again, material desire sprouts from avidya, asmita, and the pride is there as a result, as a part of this avidya. That's the problem of being a disciple of Brahmavadi. And here, it says that only bhakti can eradicate avidya, nothing else. So the root cause of our material existence, avidya, can be eradicated only by bhakti. So bhakti is the highest knowledge, and by bhakti, even Krishna will be known. Bhakti Mama Bijanati, Ivana Chasmi Tatvaha, you can know me as I am, the Supreme Personality of God is standing in your chariot, Arjuna, only by devotional service. That actually shows that only bhakti is a real transformer of the consciousness, not any other kind of tattva. Bhakti, and if bhakti is not there, devotional service is not there, and Krishna is not set as a goal or worshipable object, then how it can be achieved, how the good qualities can be manifest. And it's said in famous verse, yes, 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 bhaktir bhagavati kinchana, sarvai gunais tatra samasate surag, that in a person who has realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the good qualities manifest automatically. All the suras, all the demigods, they will manifest, they will appear in his body together with all their qualities. It's naturally, all these qualities come along with the bhakti. It's like inbuilt feature of bhakti, they are given qualities. And when the bhakti is there, qualities are there. The pridelessness are there. There is no more pride, and the person is humble. And we speak here about the Lord Indra's persisting like problem in his relationship with spiritual master, and his pride, which he shows in this relationship. And actually, the same logic can be applied to this problem as well. How to solve it? By bhakti. Because if love is there as love and attachment to the spiritual master, then together with the love, respect comes. If love is there, respect will be there. If love is not there, then respect may or may not be there. And it's exemplified by Lord Indra himself. Yeah. So it may or may not respect even his spiritual master Brihaspati. Why? Because he doesn't have love of God. That's his problem. So, and Raghunatha Dasa Goswami prays in his Manasa Shiksha, actually, he described how fierce this loving attachment, this Srati, appear in our relationship with our spiritual master. And from this kind of attachment, loving attachment sprout all other kinds of attachment up to the Rati, to Shishirada and Krishna. Everything starts from this rati in the relationship with the spiritual master. Sadat dambam hitva, kuru ratima purva matitaram, ayes vantar data, shatubira biyachi, drita padal. Oh, my brother, my mind, I humbly ask you, please give up all your damba. Damba means pride. Sadat damba hitva, give up, give up. And please develop rati to Sri Guru, the first person. Please develop rati to Sri Guru and Vrajadam. And all the Vrajavasis, and all the devotees of the Lord Hari, and to all the Sattvic Brahmanas, and finally to Sri Radha and Krishna, the divine couple, which is the embodiment of beauty personified, blossoming beauty. So everything sprouts from our Rati, our loving attachment to our spiritual master. And the second two lines here, if you can see, Indra sincerely admits his duplicity and insincerity in the relationship with his spiritual master because of his pride, and he repents. He wants to become a nishatha. Shatha means duplicitous, and nishatha means sincere. He wants to become again sincere. And it's quite a thing to say it in public. Right, and especially in such gathering like this, with thousands of the demigod literally speaking present, like all these Adityas, Ashwini Kumaras, Ragas, different kinds, of different kinds, thousands of them, and all of them they worship Indra, and he's sitting on elevated throne, and somehow, in front of everyone, he said, I'm not humble. And it takes actually humility to say, I'm not humble, to say, I'm proud, right? And it takes sincerity to say, I'm not sincere, I'm a duplicitous one, right? So it's quite amazing even to hear from him. That means he is endowed with all the good qualities of the demigods, otherwise he would not be Indra, the chief of the demigods. He is the leader of all the demigods. But there is big but here. This pride again and again comes into picture somehow. And even Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, he comes to the senses. Meaning the proud Indra is not real Indra. That senses which he comes to, meaning being sincere and being non-duplicitous, that's him real. Right, even Srila Prabhupada points out on this. And Burijan Prabhu says, if Indra being so pious and qualified, having all good qualities, being the Lord of Heaven, performer of 100 Ashwamedha Yagyas, becomes proud, it's not so astonishing as me showing proud always of nothing. It's not so astonishing. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira actually gives definition of pride when he was asked by Yaksha what pride is. And he replied, when one thinks that he accomplishes something and he suffers. It's two things comprise our pride. If we think that we accomplish something in this life, in this material world, and if we think we suffer, this thing. And what I'm proud of, I'm proud of what I attach to and enjoy this. Again, these two things. Whatever I have, this attachment gives me joy, and I'm proud of this attachment. Right? So that's the object of my pride, my attachment which gives me pleasure. That's why I'm proud of it. There is no attachment, there is no pride. If attachment is there, the pride will be there. So it's how it works. And what is this pride for us, actually? Because we are the devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says about this, reciting the very famous verse from Padma Purana, Shoka Marsha Dibir Bhavaya Akrantam Yasya Manasa. Katham tasya mukundasya spurtir sambhavami bhavet, that in the heart of a person who is filled with shoka, lamentation, amarsha, suffering, pride, envy, the mukunda cannot manifest. What does it sound? How it sound actually for us? Mukunda is our life and soul. We are here to somehow reach Krishna. And if he is not there, and if we cannot somehow attract him to our heart because it filled with fills, then what is the use of this life? And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that in order to make Krishna appear from the womb of her bhakti, Devaki had first of all to lose all her sons. Devaki symbolically represent bhakti. And all her six sons, they represent what? Six enemies in the heart. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. All of them. And in order to manifest Krishna, so that he could manifest in the heart, first we have to lose all these sons. And these sons, they're actually sons of Marichi, and Marichi represent, in all this allegorical story, Marichi represents the mind. So all these impurities, they are in the mind, and they are born of our mind. Of nothing else. And then Kamsa kills all these impurities one by one, all her sons. And what does Kamsa represent? Kamsa represents fear of material existence. And Devaki always fear Kamsa because of his cruelty. So, and this fear in here killed his, this impurity in her heart. Meaning that fear of material existence actually cures us. And the same principle lies in the foundation of our bhakti, of our devotional practice, of our sadhana. It's hidden motive of our sadhana, fear. And as all these sons of the Devaki are supposed to be killed one by one, the same happening with us actually. In the course of our sadhana, all these enemies in the heart, they born one by one to be killed with our fear. And what is this fear? I don't want to return there. It's so painful there in the material world. I don't want. I already got enough on my plate. So I don't want anymore. Right? And I fear. So, and it's a very helpful fear. So it kills all the impurities until the motive is already changed and the motive become pure. It's pure love. And I am doing whatever I supposed to do out of love of God, not out of fear of material existence. That's how it's indicated here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And back to the verse. That's because Indra is so pious and being very fearful of the consequences of his offense, he repents. And he decided to become Nishadha, non-duplicious, and to please his spiritual master, Prasada Ishiya. Prasadam Ishiya means to please. And for our understanding, here Srila Prabhupada explains actually, it's not in word by word, they are just only Prasada Ishiya, meaning to please, and Srila Prabhupada in literal translation, he explained what does it mean to please spiritual master when he is displeased with offense. Verse 2, touch the lotus feet of the spiritual master, take the dust and smear on the head. And the second, to offer prostrated obeisances. These two things comprise the act of pleasing of Srila, spiritual master when he is displeased by offense. And because of this, in literal translation, it occurs twice, to touch the lotus feet of the spiritual master. If you notice, we read twice, to touch the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So for Srila Prabhupada, why he put it twice? Although the second time it's not there in the Sanskrit, he put it for our understanding that it's very important to touch the lotus feet somehow. Why? To take the dust. And in this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati mentioned, even a particle of a dust of dust from the lotus feet of my spiritual master can deliver the whole world. And Lord Chaitanya said the same to his mother. The only way for you to get rid of the offense to the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya is to take the dust from his lotus feet and put it on your head. Therefore, principle here is mentioned by Prabhupada, Pranipat, Pariprashna Seva. He quotes this verse 34 from Bhagavad Gita. Pranipat, to pay obeisances, like a rod, it said, without any consideration of time, place, and circumstance, like this chicken, you're at the lotus feet. That means full surrender with this pranipat. And sometimes we are coming to the temple, and in all this crowd, it's, especially this last day when we celebrated Narasimha Deva's appearance day, I just found someone lying just in the middle of this crowd without any excuse what is going around. Someone may step on him, even on his head. He can be smashed with all these people around him, but he doesn't care. He just prostrated like this. That's showing something. I cannot do it. So it's probably not my way to please my spiritual master. But anyway, the Pranipat principle of full surrender without any reservation, at least on the physical level, is very important. And there are quite few evidences of intra becoming proud and showing this proud, especially in the relationship with spiritual master, with Brihaspati. First, that we discuss now, when Brihaspati just left, wanting the demigods go through experiential experience, whether that is mean to offend the spiritual master. Then finally they lost everything to the demons. That was a result of this offense. So he wanted them to go through it and to learn by experience what the aparatha is. And the second, and he took it as aparat. He accepted the wrong done to him by Indra as offense. Otherwise, he wouldn't withdraw himself, but he left. That means he took this as an offense. And the second case, it was when in the similar circumstance, Brihaspati just cursed him. It was again the same from the side of Indra. He disrespected his spiritual master and Brihaspati just cursed him to become a pig for 1 year. It was a second offense. And then we have two more cases like of Indra showing his pride over Krishna himself, the famous Govardhana Lila and Parijata Lila. At least two incidents there. And first is, of course, Govardhana Lila. And Krishna didn't take this as an offense. And he was thinking actually to kick him or so. To kick him or what? Like he was thinking about Indra. Should I kick him or what now? And then he decided, it's just Indra. And he just elegantly, in very elegant manner, just by holding Govardhana a heel aloft, he just crushed the pride of Indra. And it was very wonderful, very tasty for the devotees, even to hear how it was done. And that another lila is Parijata lila, of course, when Indra, being afraid of Bahumasura, came to Krishna asking for help, please somehow conquer this Bahumasura, this demon which is bothering me. And Krishna said, okay, I will help you. And when he brought back, after conquering Bahumasura, he brought back whatever Indra lost. He lost the earrings of his mother Aditi, he lost his umbrella, some more items which were stolen by Bahumasura. And before this, Krishna asked, okay, I will help you, but please give Parijata tree to me for my queen, for Satyabhama. And when he came back with all these gifts from Bahumasura after conquering him and thus for Parijata, Indra said, I'm sorry, Parijata, it's only for heaven. So, and then Krishna just smiled. He didn't even accept this as an offense. He just smiled and took Parijata anyway, because it was promised to him, right? And Indra dared to fight with Krishna for this parijata tree instead of being grateful, you know, for taking it. Because after all, he's a proprietor of everything. Why not parijata? So how merciful Krishna is. And we are so lucky to have him as our master. And thus we can see that also Krishna admit his pride here. It still pops up again and again under different circumstances. And it's interesting how a pure devotee reflects on the problem of Indra and Brihaspati and their relationship. Let us listen. Bali Maharaja speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his spiritual master and prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent. Why? Because he did not properly instruct his disciple, Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door. So Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to serve, he engaged the Lord Vamanadeva himself in asking me, Bali, for alms to gain the 3 volts for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the 3 volts is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of mana. That's how he laments Bali Maharaj. That he's bound by the rope of Varuna and imprisoned in the cave, and Vamanadeva has thrown him in the cave, and then, being deprived of all his possession, what does he do? He laments because of Indra's being so undevotional to the Lord, without any understanding what to ask, because Vamanadeva was right there in front of Indra, and instead of asking him devotional service, he asked some material possession. Please conquer all this, all the 3 volts for me to possess. And then Vamanadeva came and took all the 3 volts from Bali. So Indra understands now that something should be done about this offensive mentality. He has Brihaspati as his Jnana Guru. But then he has Surabhi Kao as his Bhakti Guru. And she is the counselor of Indra in all the matters connected to bhakti. So Lord Indra came to Surabhi, and whole incident is described in Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's coming from Lord Nityananda. He explains the glory of Godramadvipa to Srivasa Thakur and Jiva Goswami. And he says, that's a fine, very nice, wonderful excerpt from Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya. During Dvapara Yuga, Lord Sri Krishna excused Indra for his attempt to flood Vrindavan. But Indra was nevertheless very frightened. He went to the Surabhi Kao and told her, I could not understand the Lord in his Krishna Lila, and thus committed a severe offense at his lotus feet. Here again, he admits, he repents. I have heard that in the age of Kali, Lord Sri Krishna will manifest wonderful pastimes in Nadia. I fear that I may again become bewildered and offend the lotus feet of Sri Hari in this his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya. You know everything, my dear Surabhi Mata. Kindly tell me what I should do to become free from this offensive nature. So what did Surabhi reply? Surabhi Kao replied, let us go to Navadvip Dham. There we will worship Nimai. Indra and Surabhi then came here to Godrama to to engage in the devotional service in worship of Lord Gauranga, which is very easy and gives great benefit. And what was this worship of Lord Gauranga? Listen. If someone cries, chanting the holy name of Lord Gauranga, he will obtain darshan of the Lord. It was a bhajan of Indra and Surabhi Mata. What was the bhajan? It comprised of two things: to chant the holy name of Gaura and to cry. That's for us, what bhajan is. And after Indra and Surabhi performed their bhajan here, Lord Gauranga manifested himself, exhibiting his most beautiful form, smiling sweetly. His transcendental form was very gracious, and he was the personification of the ecstatic storehouse of all the mellows. Lord Gauranga smilingly said, "I know your desire. Very soon I will manifest my pastimes in Nadia. During these pastimes, you will serve me here," meaning that Indra will come. He will appear in the manifested pastimes of Lord Gauranga. It was predicted. During this pastime, you will serve me here so that you will not get caught by the net of Maya anymore. Lord Gauranga ki jai. This was the blessings to Lord Indra by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Gauranga knew the problem of Indra, and it was his ardent desire to help Indra somehow to get rid of it. How? Yes, Indra appeared again in the manifested pastimes of Lord Gauranga as Maharaja Prataparudra. It was incarnation of Indra. And Brihaspati also came in the same manifested pastimes of Lord Gauranga as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right? And again, they came to rectify the guru-disciple relationship because somehow it was not fulfilled for both of them, right? So both of them came into Gaura Lila just to rectify by what? By bhakti. There was no bhakti. Brihaspati didn't give the knowledge of the devotional service, didn't set the worshipable object as Bhagavan. Nothing was there. Therefore, Indra was kind of what to do, and pride still. And Brihaspati was not satisfied because he was offended again and again by Indra. So somehow it should be, had to be rectified. And then both of them came in the same Gaura Lila to get this bhakti. And now, as Maharaja Prataparudra, he became a great devotee of Jagannath, as we know, and he became a menial servant, sweeping without any pride anymore in front of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. So he became really humble. And Lord Chaitanya, being so pleased with this attitude of the king of Puri, or Lord Indra, now no proud in him. He's not proud anymore, no pride in him. Said he just embraced him after Lord Krishna, Maharaja Prataparudra, recited Gopi Gita to him in Jagannath Vallabha Garden. So I don't have anything to give you in return, I just embrace you. And with this embrace of Lord Chaitanya, he got Gaura Prema. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. And then the same happened with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a dry logician, actually, Brahmavadi, and now instead of being Brahmavadi, he became a devotee of the Lord. And so much so that he even recited this verse. You remember the very famous verse spoken by Lord Brahma in Brahma Vivohana Lila. He changed Muktipada to Bhaktipada when, for the devotee who still surrender everything to the Lord, although he's suffering probably in the material world. He surrendered his mind, his words, his body to the Lord still. So the liberation, according to the verse, becomes his righteous claim. And then Brihaspati changed this liberation to bhakti. Bhakti becomes his legitimate right. Right? And he explained why. So now he's testing bhakti. He's not after mukti anymore. He's not after Brahman. He's not after Paramatma. So both of them, they got completely transformed as personalities. And now they return to their abode, respective abode, to resume their respective duties to become better in them. Brihaspati may now better teach their disciples, his disciples, the demigods, by giving them bhakti. And Indra became a devotee, of course. And it's interesting that Krishna himself couldn't transform neither Brihaspati nor Indra during his manifest pastimes here as Lord Krishna in this incarnation. Although they had very close relationship, of course. And Indra was coming for help and asking so many times. And of course they have some dealings during this Govardhana Leela and Parijata Leela. And the same is Brihaspati. But despite of all these dealings with the Lord, they were not transformed, neither one of them. Only Lord Chaitanya could transfer it. Why? Because Krishna himself, he is Vishaya. And he is not so great as a giver of love. He admits himself, I am Vishaya. I am the highest object of love. And all love is given by Ashraya, by Srimati Radharani. And she is the highest Ashraya, or abode of this love. And Krishna also established this principle of Yayathamam Prapadyante Tamstadaiva Bhajamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly, not more, not less. So Krishna can give only what the living entity gives to him. Not more than this. But still, although he defines this equality like this, we know that this equality is not equal. Because from his side it's equal, but from our side, and it's described in the Vedas, he is causelessly merciful. We make one step towards him, he makes 10 steps towards us. That's the proportion actually, but he thinks that it's equal, but it's not. But still, despite of this, he couldn't rectify this. Then he wants to give the highest love, the love of Vrindavan, of Rajavata, of the girls of Vrindavan, Madhuri Rasa. He accepts the mood of Srimati Radharani, the highest giver. And this is Lord Chaitanya. And in this mood, he can deliver a whole world. What to say about Brihaspati and Indra? And what is the mood of Srimati Radharani? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you can give me in return. I just give you all my love. So that with this love, you can serve my Prananath, my Krishna. And because this highest love, he will be happy. He is happy only when my love is given to you. So I give all my love to you, just serve him. And when he is happy, that's the source of my happiness as well. So that's the mood of Srimati Radharani. He doesn't consider whom to give. And this is mood of Lord Chaitanya. He is giving everything. Therefore, we are here. And being so lucky actually, because this mood was fully imbibed by the previous acharyas, the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, of course. And because of the causeless mercy, because of this mood of Lord Chaitanya, we are here now in this wonderful moment of Krishna consciousness. And with this mood, actually, of Lord Chaitanya, came the era of Lord Chaitanya, when all the world will be delivered.